Mr. Burgundy, you have a massive erection.
You can throw out all those great backs and great quarterbacks and great defensive players throughout the country and in this conference. But there's going to be one team that's going to play solely as a team. No man is more important than a team. No coach is more important than a team. You raise me
up. This is Michigan, for God's sakes.
This is The Sophisticated Boner, a Michigan Man podcast, for your listening pleasure. All right, welcome to the first inaugural episode of The Sophisticated Boner, a Michigan Man podcast. I am your host, Mark the Nomad. You can follow me on Twitter, at Mark the Nomad. And I'm joined by my co-host, Josh Henshizki from the Big House Report. I'm sorry. I still don't know how to say your last name. You'll tell me a million times and I'll never get it, but
it's Henshizki, but you know, Henshizki. It's okay. I'll let that one slide for
like
now.
Like henchmen, Henshizki.
Right. Right.
All right,
like
so
a sneeze.
This is our first episode of the podcast. We plan on bringing this to you every week. Sometime towards the end of the week, and we will preview the upcoming opponent. We'll talk Michigan football. We're going to try to get a guest on every week that will preview the upcoming opponent, and we'll try to make them as uncomfortable as humanly possible while they're talking about the team that they follow or support. But for this episode, we are going to talk about Michigan football, what is coming up, what are some of our expectations for the year, and just, you know, give our opinions on the upcoming season and what we think is going to happen with Michigan football. I am under the impression that they are going to have a very solid year, save a few hiccups, probably on the road. But I think – and what do you think about this, Josh? Do you think they hold serve at home? Do you anticipate another undefeated home season for Hoke?
I do. I know that you mentioned a few hiccups on the road. I think, you know, right in November there, it's a pretty brutal away schedule. I mean, you have, well, and you have Nebraska at home, and then you have Northwestern and Michigan State away. I think that's going to be a pretty tall task for them to get through, you know, unscathed. But I think I'm right, you know, with you on that one. I think they're going to have a pretty solid season. And I think they'll probably run the table at home.
I am definitely under the impression that they have a really good chance of going to East Lansing this year and coming out with a victory, not for any schematic advantage or anything like that, because the Spartan defense, as much as we troll Sparty and we troll Mike Wilson and we jab at the Michigan State guys just for the hell of it, they are returning a monster defense. And if they can get any semblance of an offense, replacing Le'Veon Bell, replacing, you know, gosh, didn't they lose a couple – no, they lost receivers a couple years ago. The tight end that they lost who was drafted.
Deion Sims?
Yeah, they lost Deion Sims.
Yeah.
And they got Maxwell coming back at quarterback. I'm under the impression that you do not get better losing those key pieces. And Golston not coming back is not as huge of a hit as, say, a Le'Veon Bell or a Deion Sims. But that defense with Bulla – That's a tough game, but the only reason why I think that they've got such a shot to go into East Lansing and win that game is because it's off of a bye week where they get 2 weeks to prepare for that Spartan defense.
Right, I agree. I think, you know, the whole reason why Michigan State is going to have a pretty nice season is because their defense, you know, their defense is going to keep them in a lot of games. You know, their offense may go stagnant for a while there, but, you know, a lot of those games last year that they could have easily won because of their defense.
Right.
So I think you're going to expect, I mean, Michigan State's always going to be prepared for a rivalry game. I mean, it's very rare you see them actually get, you know, steamrolled by Michigan. It's always a close game. So D'Antonio is going to get his kids prepared, and I think, you know, it's going to be another tight game. I think Michigan State is going to have another, you know, pretty decent season.
Well, you know, going off that, Mark D'Antonio, and every team comes up with their own motto, and whether it's cheesy or whether, you know, it's actually effective, I know that D'Antonio has said on multiple occasions this year, from the press conferences, from Big Ten media days, that it's inches. That it's they lost so many games last year because of inches. They lost to Michigan because of inches. They, you know, across the board, the games that they lost, when they lost to Ohio State by 1 point, they lost to Notre Dame by a very small margin. It is, you know, if they catch a couple breaks, they go from having a 6-win regular season to a 9-10 win regular season, and that's a – I believe that they're going to come back this year and be a very formidable opponent in the Legends,
right,
which is Murderer's Row. I mean, you know, not – no offense to Ohio State, but they don't have the most treacherous road through their side.
No.
They're going to hit Penn State. They're going to hit Wisconsin. But all in all, they've got two difficult games, and they're both on the road. You've got Northwestern, and then you've got them coming to the Big House.
Mm-hmm.
If they hiccup anywhere in the season, I don't see where it is. I don't know where the hiccup's going to be. They're going to be favored in every game.
No, I agree. And, two, and if you want to get technical about the inches argument, Michigan State did lose to Michigan by a foot.
Yeah. Yep. And they also could not stop Drew Dilio, which made me very happy.
Great white hope.
Now, that's a pretty good segue to going into what Michigan's going to have as their big problem this year, the receiving core. You've got Jeremy Gallen coming back, who potentially could have a 1,000-yard season, you know, upcoming with this chemistry with Devin Gardner. You've got Dilio, but then after that, it was supposed to be Darbo. From what we heard all season, all off season, all spring, that Amara Darbo was the guy. He was the one that emerged. He caught that crazy pass in the spring game over the shoulder on the first play, and I was excited about it. So how do you think Michigan adjusts to the loss of Amara Darbo?
Well, you know, I was pretty disappointed about the Darbo news too, because you know, I was calling for him to have a huge breakout year this year, but you know, as they always say, it's always the next man up. Really, after that, you've got, you know, the Joe Reynolds, you've got the Jacksons, you've got, you know, J.U. Chesson. I mean, I think he'll be able to step up nicely. He's talented. The coaches have been raving about him all camp, so I don't think. Because you really can't tell what type of drop-off you're going to have without Darbo on there, because you don't know. He hasn't had any action. So, you know, he could have had, you know, 1,500 yards receiving, hypothetically, but we don't know. So I really think, you know, someone's going to have to step up, and I think, you know, I'm calling for Chesson. I also really like Northfleet in the slot. I think he's going to be awesome there. Mix him up with Dilio. You're going to have some, you know, little speedy guys out there who can get open, cause some trouble. So, and also, you know, the tight ends are going to have to get relied on a lot as well. You know, you got Funchess and Jake Butt and AJ Williams and all that type of crew out there. So I don't think their season is completely ruined because of Darbo is gone, but, you know, they'll have to obviously have someone else step up.
Well, you know, we can't call this podcast the Sophisticated Boner without mentioning who I currently have a boner for the Michigan Wolverines. And I'm going to say that my boner right now for the Michigan Wolverines has got to be the tight end group. If you can put Dilio on the field and Jeremy Gallen on the other side, and then have a two tight end set of Jake Butt and Devin Funchess, with the offensive line that they're putting out there, I think the run game will be significantly improved. I think that you're going to see Fitzgerald Toussaint, if he doesn't adjust to that power running game, you know, because he was the prototypical spread running back. And when he succeeded was when Denard was not hurt and defenses were keying on him, leaving him open. But when you put Fitz Toussaint in the backfield of an I formation or in a pro set, is he going to be successful being able to take a beating and move the chains? I'm under the opinion that he is not, because he looks good in camp, and I'm glad that he has come back from that devastating injury. But I'm excited to see guys like a Devion Smith, guys like a Derek Green, move the chains, because we have an incredibly athletic quarterback, and for someone who I feel is underrated in his athleticism. People only talk about, you know, he's their pocket passer that they were looking for, but he only started five games, and he rushed for 7 touchdowns. That's a big deal. He creates a problem and a mismatch for defenses. And with the offensive line, for which I think will be much improved with just having new guards that can actually pull, God forbid, that they're going to be able to move the ball. And I think Devin Gardner, and I'm actually picking Devion Smith to be my sleeper pick of the year. He is going to be the guy that I think overtakes Derek Green in the starting lineup.
I agree with that. You know, I know a lot of people aren't exactly enamored with Derek Green right now because he came in at 240, yada, yada, yada. I think a lot of people sleep on Devyon Smith, I think, is just because he's not a five-star and he wasn't in the top 50 or whatever. I think a lot of people forget about him. And I definitely think he's going to have, if he sees time this year, which I don't see why not, considering, you know, the jury is still out on what Toussaint's going to do. I still believe that he's going to have, you know, a solid season. And I know that you mentioned mismatches before. When you throw out a two tight end set with Funchess and Butt, that's a, you know, mismatch city right there.
Funchess, you know, and Butt.
Yeah, the Funchy Butt.
The Funchy
Butt. You've got two guys out there who are athletic and can also, you know, block. Probably Butt's probably the better blocker. But you've got two guys out there who can catch the football and also can create a mismatch for the running game, too, because you've got so many guys out there, you know, that may be unproven, but they're going to require a lot of attention from the defensive coordinators.
Yeah, I remember during the Rich Rodriguez era, the brief dark ages that we had, when starters would graduate, and I think the most glaring one would be Brandon Graham, I was nervous, like legitimately, yep. Like, who is going to replace that production? And no one really did. I mean, Craig Rowe, he came in with a lot of hype, but he never exceeded or even approached Brandon Graham status.
Right.
Now you got a guy who, you know, albeit recruited by Rodriguez, the strength and conditioning program at Michigan has turned Frank Clark into a monster.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited because we talk about these young players. But you've got guys that are coming in with a decent amount of experience. They're young, but the talent level compared to what was being brought in under Rich Rodriguez, I don't have that same pause, that same fear to say, well, there's going to be a significant drop off of that position just
right.
Because of, you know, what you're hearing from production from these guys. So I guess that's a good way to shift over to the defense. What do you anticipate being the weakness of this defense, especially with Jake Ryan being out until at least late October?
You know, that's a good question because I think defense is absolutely loaded this year. I think that's the biggest positive we have is the defensive group as a whole. A lot of people.
Except for that safety, man.
Yeah, safety. You know, you lose a lot with Kovacs. You lose a lot of leadership. But Thomas Gordon is going to step up for that vocal leader. But, you know, I think you mentioned, you know, Jared Wilson, I don't think is ready to take over a full-time role. He probably showed flashes last year, but he also showed flashes where he, you know, wasn't quite ready. You know, you got guys like Jeremy Clark too. I mean, that other safety spot, it's really tough to say how well that's going to work out. You know, you've got guys in the pipeline, but once again, you know, they might not be quite ready. You know, guys like Diamante Thomas and, you know, guys like that. It's just really tough to say how well that safety spot's going to work out.
Well, you know, you mentioned the name Diamante Thomas, and that was a player who I was really looking forward to jumping into that safety spot. I think he's been mentioned a lot as the nickel cornerback, but he was recruited out of high school, out of Ohio, as a safety, someone who was, I mean, even up until signing day, Buckeyes could not believe Diamante Thomas was going to commit to Michigan and maintain his commitment to Michigan. And he's coming in with a lot of hype. He's coming in with a lot of pedigree. And I thought he would be the kind of guy that could jump up and jump into that starter's role early. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it's tough as a young guy, especially on defense, to jump in there and take a starting role like that. But what do you think? Do you think he's got what it takes to crack the starting lineup this year, or is he just going to be our nickel guy?
Considering, you know, what we have right now, I wouldn't be shocked if you see him in the safety position sometime this year. I know, you know, Courtney Avery's had some injury issues, so a need at nickel might be more important right now, but slot Courtney Avery in there, the senior, in the nickel spot, and you can always just transfer Diamante back there in the safety. I think, you know, I don't want to make any, you know, wild predictions, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him back there, and I think he'll excel back there. I remember when I talked to him once, he said that, you know, he compares his game to Reed, who used to play for plays for the Texans. I can't remember his first name right now.
Ed Reed,
there you go. Thank you, Ed Reed. So if you got a guy like Ed Reed back there, I don't mind at all.
If he even approaches any kind of Ed Reed status, then that's a huge victory, because Ed
no
Reed
doubt.
For Miami was one of the scariest players I've ever watched play football live. And he covered so much ground, it was almost as if one side of the field was a don't-go-there zone, because you knew even if a receiver caught the ball, they may not have their head attached to their body once they took a hit.
Right.
So if Diamante Thomas can even approach Ed Reed status, that is a golden gift from God. So you know what? We've been on for about 20 minutes, and we've done a little quick season preview. Is there anything you want to get out there about the podcast or about your site, and what can we expect for the season upcoming?
Well, I think just another good season for Michigan. Obviously, you know, the 8-5 last year was kind of like a misnomer, because you had, you know, teams like Alabama playing, and, you know, Notre Dame, you know, being unusual Notre Dame. But,
yeah, I mean, what, 4 of their 5 losses were to teams ranked in the top 10?
Right, right. So, you know, I just expect another good year. And also for the podcast, just keep checking back at the website at the bighousereport.com. And, you know, follow us on Twitter at TBHRReport.
Or I gotta TBH be honest, report. Man, I am incredibly underfollowed on Twitter. I feel like I, myself, am a commodity that is undervalued on Twitter, and it's really not my job to get my word or my voice out there. It's up to others. So you guys just need to step your shit up, because it's getting really old trying to do all the work.
Yeah, you know, he Nomad's the hidden gem on Twitter, and he's not yet discovered.
Yeah, I feel so underappreciated and undervalued, and you're going to hear about that a lot on here until that's remedied. So, you know, step it up, man. Come on.
Yeah, I should plug my guys. I really should. Oh, that sounded bad.
Right. Oh, yeah. You should totally plug your guys on the Sophisticated Boner.
Yeah. Oh, God.
So you let's talk a little bit about ourselves before we wrap this up.
Okay.
I am in Florida. You are in Michigan.
Yep.
I'm a Florida boy raised, but I was born in Michigan, born in Detroit, and have a lot of history in the state of Michigan. Followed it my whole life. But you are from Australia,
correct?
What the hell are you doing in the United States?
That's a very, very long story.
Is it like prison related, or did you like?
No, it's not prison related.
Is it kangaroo molestation related, or?
Yeah, I actually rode on the back of my trusty kangaroo steed and teleported over here, and then I couldn't teleport back, so here I am.
Yeah, you jumped in the pouch and you appeared in Howell, Michigan, and the rest is history.
Yep.
So I'm interested to get Mike Wilson on here, because he is from New Zealand, or has that Kiwi, you know, that Kiwi heritage, and you're Australian.
Right.
So maybe there'll be a little bit of a rivalry there. You know, we got a little bit of a Russell Crowe versus Flight of the Conchords deal. And
My sources do tell me that he is a sheep herder in his pastime. So.
Okay.
I have to double check my sources on that one, but I'm pretty sure he's a sheep herder.
Second thing, going to be hard getting that guy on here, because there's a good chance they've already scrapped the football program at Michigan State.
Yeah.
There is no football there anymore. They're just going to be doing competitive cheerleading and curling.
But I did hear he is the 5th quarterback in the quarterback battle.
That's what? I'm actually interested to see a 4 quarterback set in their offense. You've got the 5 offensive line, you've got 4 quarterbacks in the backfield, and you've got 1 wide receiver. Who is the wide receiver that steps up and receives those passes from the 4 quarterbacks at Michigan State?
That's a good question.
I don't know their roster enough to give a shit. So,
there you go.
All right, well, so we're going to wrap this up. we're going to put this online. And it'll be on thebighousereport.com. You can follow Josh at 2 locations if you want to plug yourself real quick, Josh.
Yep, it's at Joshua Henschke. It's too long to spell, but you can figure it out. And then you can follow The Big House Report on Twitter at TBH Report.
And I am Mark the Nobad. Thank you for listening to the first episode of The Sophisticated Boner, a Michigan Man podcast. And if you listen to this, I will go from 6 to midnight. Good night.